Chapter 3. We stood in the bathroom, and as Adhara grinded her ass against my cock, I became rock hard in seconds. Then I slid my hands around her and grabbed her breasts, and I gently pinched her nipples. The beautiful alien gasped at my touch, and she pushed harder against my erection as she giggled. When I kissed her neck, she made a low humming sound, but then I ran my teeth over her skin and her whole body shivered against me. "Remember what we call mating?" I asked quietly.
"Yes,"
Adhara breathed.
"You fuck me, yes?"
"That's right." I grinned against her soft lilac skin. "I fuck you."
"Deep?"
she whined softly.
"Put sperm inside of my womb?"
"Oh, yes." I couldn't wait any longer, and I spun her around so I could kiss her full lips. She hungrily met my kiss, and I held her hips tightly as I delved my tongue into her warm mouth. Then I moved a hand lower to grab her tight ass, and she giggled as she pressed up against me.
"We going to the bed?"
Adhara asked, and I glanced over at the pile of sleeping women. The thought of waking my sleeping brides was a tempting one, but having my way with Adhara all to myself would more than satisfy my appetite tonight. She was silky soft and smiling so eagerly at me, and I'd only gotten to feel her tight pussy around my shaft the one time so far. I hadn't remotely gotten my fill of her, and ending my wedding night with the beautiful alien moaning my name felt like the perfect way to celebrate. "In a minute," I said. "I don't want to disturb them too much." I gently backed Adhara up toward the golden bathtub, and she sat down on the edge of the tub and looked up at me. When I knelt down, she smiled sweetly, and she let me grab her silver panties so I could wriggle them down off her slender legs.
"You taste me?"
the beautiful alien whispered, and I nodded as I spread her legs apart. Then I ran my hands over her thighs, and as I gently kissed her toned stomach, she gripped onto my shoulders. Slowly, I kissed my way down to her smooth pussy, and I could see that she was already wet. I grinned a bit as I ran a finger over her silky labia and then slid it over her clit. Adhara gasped at the sudden touch, and I didn't waste another second before lowering my face between her slender legs. I gently ran my tongue over her pussy lips to start, and tasted her sweet juices as she gripped onto my hair. I kept the movement slow as I lapped at her most sensitive areas for a moment, but then I pushed my tongue past her soft folds and into her wet pussy just to tease her. Adhara whimpered this time, and when I brought my tongue up to her clit, she let out a low moan as her thighs tightened around my shoulders.
"Oh, that feels so good,"
she murmured breathlessly.
"Please, again?"
I wanted nothing more than to make her feel amazing, and I gently ran my tongue over her clit again and again until her legs started to shudder. The gorgeous alien gasped and started to thrust to meet my movements. She moaned my name so softly as my tongue started to work faster, and her breathing quickened as I gripped her thighs to keep her pussy tight against my lips. After a moment, she quivered all the way down to her core, and she gently pushed my head away after she began to drift down from her climax.
"I had the feeling,"
Adhara whispered with wide emerald eyes.
"The coming?"
"Good," I grinned. "I love making you come." I stood up, and my rigid cock was bursting out of my boxers right in front of Adhara's face.
"My turn to taste?"
she asked, but she didn't bother waiting for a reply. The gorgeous alien slid my boxers down and ran her tongue over her light purple lips as she looked at my throbbing erection. She looked so hot sitting on the edge of the golden tub for me, and her silver hair was pushed back so I had the perfect view of her breasts. Then Adhara gently licked my shaft, and I twitched as a shock of pleasure ran through me. The lilac-skinned beauty was much more confident with my body this time, and she eagerly took the head of my penis into her mouth. I groaned as she slowly slid her lips down, and my cock pushed deep into her throat as she lowered her mouth more and more. "Fuck," I whispered as I grabbed the back of her head. "Oh, that feels amazing. Move like this. I knotted my fingers in her silver hair and made her bob her head up and down, and her soft tongue danced along my shaft as she did as I instructed. I couldn't help moving her head faster and faster. But then Adhara cradled my balls in her smooth hand, and I let her take over from there. The lilac woman sucked me off just how I liked it, and her mouth felt so unbelievably soft and hot that I could hardly stay on my feet. Her breasts bobbed with every movement, too, and I watched her light pink nipples get taut until I couldn't stand it anymore. "I need to fuck you," I moaned as quietly as I could. "Come on, let's get you into bed." Adhara slowly slid her mouth off my cock, and I groaned as her warm tongue gave me one final lick. Then the alien jumped to her feet and giggled as I hurried her out of the bathroom and toward the bed. We had half of the huge mattress to work with as the girls snored softly in their huddle, but I was happy to share since my three other lovers made for a hell of a view in just their lingerie and birthday suits. Adhara climbed onto the silver sheets, and her cheeks were flushed dark purple as I joined her.
"Can we do it this way?"
she asked as she bent over on all fours.
"Is this nice?"
I stared at the view of her tight ass and pussy presented to me, and I suddenly felt weak at the knees. "Oh yeah," I whispered. "That's really fucking nice." Adhara nodded obediently and placed her hands down on a pillow, and I knelt behind her as I ran a hand down the perfect slope of her lilac back. Then I lined my cock up with her pussy and slowly started to ease into her. Adhara's warm tunnel made me lightheaded the second I felt her tight walls gripping my shaft, and I groaned as I pushed myself deeper into her. I pulled back just as slowly as she gasped, and when she tilted her ass up for me, I clutched onto her small waist and began to fuck her. Adhara whimpered as my cock slowly slid in and out of her wet pussy. But she felt so good, I had my fingernails dug into her sides in less than a minute. Then I sped up my thrusts, and the room felt like it was spinning as I slammed my cock deeper into her slender body. "Fuck! You're perfect, Adhara," I groaned, as I fucked the gorgeous alien harder and harder.
"Come into me,"
Adhara panted.
"Please, Jason, I want your sperm to be deep inside of me."
I could barely speak as pleasure filled my brain, and I felt my orgasm build as I thrust my full length into her pussy repeatedly. "Say it again," I whispered.
"I want your sperm inside of me,"
Adhara whimpered in the softest, breathiest tone.
"So deep, Jason. I'm going to come."
Me too, I moaned, and the alien's pussy walls suddenly clenched around me as she came. My climax hit at the same time, and warmth rushed through my cock as every inch of my body pulsed with pleasure. I sprayed my seed deep inside Adhara while her tight pussy spasmed around my shaft, and she gasped over and over again as I gripped her tiny waist in my hands while I kept pushing deeper into her. I was dizzy by the time I'd finally emptied every drop of my sperm into her womb, but I stayed deep inside Adhara until her own orgasm ebbed. Then I slowly slid my shaft from her dripping tunnel, and Adhara mumbled something in her own language as she rolled over onto her back.
"That feels so amazing,"
she whispered as I collapsed beside her.
"I like it when you mate deep into me. Fuck.
"You can say I like it when you fuck me hard and deep," I murmured, and pulled the woman into my arms. Adhara rested her flushed cheek on my chest, and I kissed her silvery hair as my eyes fell shut.
"Jason?"
the alien whispered.
"I like it when you fuck me hard and deep,"
Adhara purred.
"I like it very, very much. Especially when I get to taste you first."
I groaned as her words made my cock twitch even now, and the beautiful alien giggled softly as she left a little kiss on my chest. Then I grinned at the ceiling as Heiwan made a sleepy mumbling sound, and the warmth from my girls was enough to not need the sheets. I had Kat, Becca, and Heiwan on my left, and Adhara snuggled against me on my right, and the soft breathing of my lovers around me was the best sound in the world to relax to. It wasn't long before I fell into a deep, comfortable sleep, But there were a few hazy dreams now and then, and I was fucking at Hara's mouth in most of them. Then I woke up to the sound of someone moving about in the bathroom. I stretched as I sat up and wasn't surprised to see that Kat was the first to wake up. She seemed to have a built-in alarm clock from her army days, and I watched her hum softly as she brushed her teeth at the sink.
Morning,
the pretty soldier said when she noticed I was awake.
Ready?
I looked down at the other sleeping girls, and my heart felt heavy. Becca and Haywan were snuggled up tightly, and Adhara was on my other side, sprawled out on top of the sheets. They looked so peaceful and warm, and mostly naked, and I didn't want to wake them up for a day of dangerous travel and dino fighting. I guess I have to be ready, I said. We don't have any other choice. Haywan's eyes flickered open, and I gently stroked her raven black hair as she stretched. Hey, I said softly. Time to go. The petite Korean mumbled something into the pillow before she slowly sat up, and my gaze dropped to her stomach as I wondered how long it would be until she started to show. Just the thought of her with my child growing inside her tummy made my heart pound a little stronger. And Haywan smiled as she caught my eye. Then she gently reached out to guide my hand to her belly, and her skin was creamy soft. But her stomach still felt the same as it always did. I can't wait to meet whoever is in there, I smiled. We better go and save the world for them.
Yes.
Haywan nodded stoically.
We have responsibilities now.
Adhara and Becca made grumbling sounds as they started to wake up. And I shuffled off the end of the bed with Haywan to get ready.
This feels weird.
Becca muttered as she rubbed her eyes.
I know we're used to dangerous shit, but it doesn't normally have a countdown clock.
Well, don't think about that, I suggested. Just focus on the job we need to do. Get to the Hadron Collider and get on board that ship.
You're right,
Haywan agreed.
We've totally got this. Maybe.
I'm going to jump in the shower, I snorted. There's sweat and dino dirt all over me from yesterday.
Always a good idea to shower after a night of fucking,
Becca mused and sent me a cheeky smile.
Yeah, I was half asleep, but I'm pretty sure I heard you and Adhara going at it like bunnies.
It just happened, I shrugged with a grin. There had to be at least some fucking on my wedding night.
Absolutely,
Becca nodded.
Adhara, thank you for tending to our husband so diligently. You're an absolute sweetheart. Jason fucked me hard and deep,
the beautiful alien proudly announced as she lay splayed on her stomach and all the girls burst into giggles.
Well then, our turn next,
Haywan purred.
Maybe we should shower in groups to speed things up?
Yes, please, I said as I grabbed the Korean beauty by the waist. She shrieked with laughter as I lifted her up and carried her over to the shower. We need to be quick, but I'm absolutely going to touch every inch of you.
No funny business,
Kat grinned.
We really need to get going.
Scout's honor. I saluted the corporal before I climbed into the shower cubicle with Haywan. Like everything in the base, the shower was super luxurious, and there was a little shelf full of gels and shampoo. I twisted the dial and warm water poured down on us with amazing pressure, and Haywan looked incredible as she grabbed a bottle and squeezed some shower gel onto her palm. She was pressed right up against me as she started to lather herself up, and I grinned at the innocent way she batted her eyes at me. Let me help with that, I said, and I ran my hands over her soap-covered shoulders. The Korean beauty's skin felt so soft under the water, and I ran the suds down over her perky breasts next. She smiled up at me as I covered her body in sudsy gel, and I reached around to slide my hands all over her ass and between her legs for a bit as well. Haywan let out the softest little sigh as she let me touch her all over. And it took all of my strength not to fuck my new bride in the shower. But I knew if I started with all that, then I would want to pull all the girls in, and we didn't have time for everyone to get off this morning. No matter how badly I wanted to hear my women's moans echoing around the bathroom. Haywan smirked as she saw the pained expression on my face.
Don't worry,
the Korean beauty purred.
We have all sorts of lovely plans to honor our husband later. It will be well worth the wait.
It fucking better be, I growled softly, and she giggled as she started returning the favor by washing me as well. I couldn't help letting out a groan as she ran her soft hands over my dick, and she kept it up a little longer than necessary. My groan became loud enough to reach the others.
No funny business!
Kat yelled from the bedroom, and I snorted with laughter as Haywan rolled her eyes. Then we rinsed off, and I made sure to run my hands down over my Korean wife's perfectly sculpted body once more before I turned off the water.
I like being in the shower with my new husband.
Haywan smiled as we climbed out onto the bath mat. That's good, I grinned, because I plan on doing that every day for the rest of our lives. I grabbed two of the fluffy towels and handed one to Haywan as the other three girls piled into the shower.
Tight squeeze.
Becca winked as she closed the door.
I guess we'll just have to deal with being pressed up against each other.
Oh, come on, I groaned as I dried myself off. The girls giggled as they washed themselves, and I started to pull my clothes on. They spent a few minutes getting washed up, and I admired Haywan's perfect body as she started to get dressed beside me.
You like to watch me,
the Korean beauty murmured as she slipped on some black panties. Because you're stunning, I said. It's impossible not to watch. Haywan flicked her hair and gave me one last wiggle of her ass before she pulled her pants on. Then the rest of the girls finally finished up their shower, and I had a front seat view of the hottest parade in the world as they climbed out.
You like what you see?
Becca teased as they started to dry off. I think I need another shower, I said. A cold one this time.
No, you look very clean and handsome,
Edhara assured me with a serious frown.
Not dirty at all.
Thanks, I laughed. Well, then I guess I'm fine. It didn't take the girls long to get dressed, and I grabbed my sharp gun from beside the door as Becca finished tying up her laces. Ready? I asked, and the girls nodded. I glanced down at the crushed rose petals under my feet, and I just hoped that it wouldn't be long until I was back in this room celebrating with my lovers. We made our way into the hall, and Haywan quietly closed the door behind us. There weren't any voices in the lobby, and I figured it would be a while before anyone else got up.
Do you know where the kitchen is?
Becca asked.
I'm guessing nobody else will be awake yet. Breakfast probably won't be set up. I actually do not know that,
Haywan said as we reached the lobby. It was silent and empty, except for the two guards stationed by the elevator. They didn't even glance our way as we headed for the dining room, and the sound of my stomach rumbling echoed around the hall.
No breakfast?
Edhara asked.
Not tea?
We'll find something, I assured her. But my cooking might not be as great as G's.
I smell food,
Kat said as she sniffed the air.
Or am I still asleep?
She was right. There was a definite scent of eggs in the air, and I was surprised to see G and two other women already setting up the tables inside the dining room. They had placed twice the usual amount of food out on the long table at the back, and they shuffled tables and chairs around to make as much room as possible. G smiled at us as we approached and hurried over to hug her daughter. You're up early, I said as I looked around. Is this all for the new arrivals?
Yes,
the Korean woman nodded. I noticed that her hair wasn't as neatly in place as usual, and she had purple bags under her eyes.
You're an angel,
Becca said.
We could have given you a hand with all this.
You are doing enough,
G said with a wave of her hand.
I wanted to make sure you are all fueled up before you go off and save the world.
I smiled at the sweet woman as she ushered us over to the buffet table, and I grabbed a bowl while I looked down at the array of spiced meats and rice. I started to pile a bit of everything together since I knew it could be a while before I had another chance for a sit-down meal.
Did everyone get a room?
Kat asked.
Was there enough space?
Oh, yes.
G sighed and patted her hair.
Families wanted to share, so there are plenty of places to sleep.
Oh, that's a relief, I said. I hope you'll all hold out here while we sort everything out.
We are fine.
G squeezed my arm.
You worry about the girls, yes? Worry about your mission.
I grinned at her kind smile and crinkled eyes, but then I noticed Edhara's very focused expression. The beautiful alien usually copied whatever I ate, but today she confidently picked out her own selection of food and arranged it carefully in her bowl so everything looked very orderly. Then she nodded just once, and I sent her a smile as we turned away from the buffet. We brought our food over to the closest table and sat cross-legged on the floor to eat.
Your brothers are getting the others down,
G said as she poured tea into our china cups. The others? I asked. The villagers?
No,
she replied.
The other aliens. They must need their breakfast also.
My girls and I exchanged glances, but I was relieved to know my in-laws' hospitality extended to the new scouts, too. That was very thoughtful of you, I told G. I appreciate it.
They might not be sure about the human food,
Adhara added.
But I will tell them how good yours is.
Thank you, dear,
G smiled, and she patted Adhara on the shoulder and headed off to help the other women. I wolfed down my food and tried to appreciate the delicious flavors before I focused on the mission ahead. But it was impossible to think of anything other than getting onto that mothership. How long will it take for you to set up transport onto the ship? I asked, as I swallowed my last bite of rice.
Not very long time,
Adhara shrugged.
We have all equipment we need on ship. As long as the machine works, it will be fine.
I nodded slowly. But I hadn't even considered the fact that the Hadron Collider might not be working anymore. After all, it was underground, so I figured nothing too awful could have happened to it. Even if the world was crawling with dinosaurs, and the people who knew how to make it work were possibly all dead, the machine itself should be okay. Hopefully. I shook my head as I took a sip of tea. There was no point thinking like that without knowing anything about the situation. I had to keep my cool if I was going to keep everyone safe, and that meant focusing directly on the next step. The louder footsteps rang out from the corridor, and I was dragged from my next-step thinking to see Haywan's brothers entering the dining room. The two scouts walked behind them, and the stoic aliens didn't seem particularly impressed. The lilac-skinned men glanced up at the ceiling and all around the large room, and they wrinkled their noses as they got closer to the food at our table.
Here you are, Sun He announced as he gestured to the buffet. You can fit up on anything you like. I suppose you will need a lot of energy for your journey today.
The alien men remained silent as they stared at the food bowls and made no signs of moving.
I will show you,
Adhara sighed as she got to her feet.
The human food is good, but I will show you the ones not to eat. The green ones are bad.
Sun He slumped down beside me as the aliens headed for the breakfast table.
Not exactly morning people, he whispered. I thought they were going to shoot me when I called out to wake them.
I think that's just the way they are, I chuckled. Don't take it personally. Min Jun and Tae sat down to join us, and I was surprised that they didn't bring any food for themselves over. Not hungry, I asked, and Sun He shook his head.
We ate recently. We did not really rest all of the night.
Did everyone make it from the village?
Kat asked as she sipped her tea.
Yes.
Tae stifled a yawn.
There was a run-in with some smaller dinosaurs and one of the trucks, but everyone made it here unharmed. Everyone is frightened, Sun He said. They think we have more answers than we really do.
Being down here is the safest place, Min Jun said. This is the best we can do for now.
Adhara returned with the two scouts, and they slowly sat down with their bowls as they examined the food carefully. Eat up, I said. We'll need to get going soon.
Are we taking all the ships?
Becca asked as she scraped up the last of her eggs.
Or just all piling into Adhara's and leaving the rest?
I do not leave my ship, the shorter alien firmly interrupted. Ship is mine.
Yes, we fly our own ship, the taller alien said, as he poked at his food with a chopstick. Do not touch my ship.
Right, sorry, I muttered through a smirk. That makes sense.
I thought of some names,
Becca said in a cheery tone.
You know, human names that we can call you.
The male aliens didn't reply. They were too busy prodding their food and wrinkling their noses as G poured them tea. It was weird to remember Adhara acting the same way when she first arrived, and how unsure of everything she had been, but it was cuter with her. These hulking purple guys looked like they could flip the whole damn table over any second, but Adhara didn't seem too concerned at the moment.
So,
Becca continued as she smirked at me.
I was was thinking spacey names like Adhara, because of you being from space and all.
Everyone is from space, the shorter alien bluntly replied. Space is everywhere. You are from it, too. Kat snorted, and the alien shot her a stern look that she coolly returned.
Uh-huh,
Becca said.
So, anyway, the first name I thought of was Leo, like the star sign. Leo,
Adhara repeated as she cocked her head.
This is nice, I think. I thought so,
Becca said as she flicked her hair over her shoulder.
And the other one was Orion.
Time to fight for which one you prefer, I said with a grin. What do you guys think? The two men stared at me for a few seconds and then shrugged their massive shoulders.
I think they are good names, Sun-Hee said helpfully,
and he offered the alien men a charming grin for good measure.
Maybe Adhara should choose which is which.
You do know them better,
Hei-Wan nodded. Adhara chewed her food slowly as she looked at her fellow aliens, and her emerald eyes studied their faces carefully.
You will be Leo,
she said as she pointed to the shorter one.
And you can be Orion.
The newly named Leo nodded as he finally lifted some eggs to his mouth and quickly took a bite. I watched his brow gradually unfurrow as he chewed, and he was soon shoveling more food into his mouth. Orion followed suit, and the alien men quickly emptied their bowls as they nodded with what I figured was approval for G's cooking.
Orion,
the tall alien said once he'd finished, and he said it slowly like he was testing out how the word felt in his mouth.
Orion.
You like it?
Becca asked.
It is fine, he shrugged. If it makes easy for humans, then is acceptable.
High praise.
Kat grinned as she drained the last of her tea. I watched a couple of villagers appear in the dining room, and G hurried over to speak to them. She pointed to the buffet table and spoke in quick Korean to the new arrivals.
We better get going, I sighed as the villagers hurried over for their breakfast. Operation Save the Planet is waiting.
Do you have enough weaponry? Minjun asked. You may take anything from my father's armory if you wish.
Thanks, I said with a grin. We're all set with weapons. I'm guessing Leo and Orion still have their full supply.
Weapon room fully stocked, Leo nodded. More than enough for human mission.
I want to say goodbye to Appa,
Hei-Wan said as she looked over at the doorway.
Is he here?
He should be upstairs,
Tay replied.
He was...
The middle brother was interrupted by the sound of shouts coming from the lobby, and the pounding of racing footsteps came right along with them. I leapt to my feet as an out-of-breath man appeared in the doorway, and he yelled something in Korean at Hei-Wan's brothers. He was dressed in the all-black clothing that Kwan's men wore, and there was blood splattered over his gaunt face. The three brothers jumped up, followed by the girls, and the two male scouts watched with raised eyebrows.
More Therizinosauruses,
Hei-Wan translated.
Trying to get inside the base.
Let's go, I growled, and raced alongside Minjun to the doorway. The blood-covered man didn't appear to be injured, and he started to run back to the lobby with us, and Sun-Hee and Tay were just behind me along with my four women. I heard Adhara shout something in her guttural grunts and hums just before I reached the door, and I looked back in time to see the male scouts had broken into a run behind us. We had fought the Therizinosauruses before, and they seemed to have a massive herd that occupied the dense forest here. Clearly, we hadn't managed to get all of them during the last battle, and I wondered how many of the long-clawed bastards were out there.
They're so creepy,
Becca said, as we skidded to a halt at the glass elevator.
I hate that fucking noise they make.
I nodded as I remembered the eerie clicking that had echoed around the darkened trees on the first night we arrived on the island. And even Kat grimaced a bit at the thought. Leo and Orion spoke to Adhara in their native tongue as the elevator doors slid open, and they were the only ones who hadn't swung their weapons to their fronts. We piled into the elevator in one large group, and I gripped my sharp gun as we started to shoot upward past the gray concrete walls.
How many are there? I asked.
He says there were many, Sun-Hee replied. My father is up there with a few other men.
I bet they sensed how many people you've got down here now, I muttered. Attacks are going to be more frequent with the villagers hiding at the base.
The three brothers exchanged loaded looks, but I could tell they weren't shying away from the challenge. They only straightened their broad shoulders and checked their weapons. But as the elevator reached the ground level, I could already hear the roars of the dinos before the doors had even opened. Then I readied myself for combat and took a deep breath as the elevator opened. I raced out of the glass structure and could hear yells in Korean along with gunshots as we ran out of the black building. The air was warm, and there was an orange glow to the world since the sun hadn't fully risen. The sky was clear, and in any other circumstance, it would be hard to ignore what a gorgeous morning it was. But the scene before us was enough to almost bring my breakfast right back up. There was a mutilated Therizinosaurus body right outside the doorway. It had been shot several times, and it looked like it had fallen onto another dino's claws. Its belly was ripped open, and a pool of entrails had spilled out onto the grass. The stench of the dead dino was hard to ignore, but I leapt past the body as I quickly scoped out the situation. Inside the enclosed area of the tall gate, it looked like there were three live dinos left. The beasts stood on two legs, and their sword-like claws swung around as they snarled. The dinos were at least 15 feet tall, and their skin was a murky brown color. Their talons were just as thick and sturdy as their bodies, and the weapons stuck out about 20 inches from their knuckles while they snarled with razor-sharp teeth. Then their dark eyes darted toward us. Quan and two other men were shooting at the beasts, and it looked like the dinosaurs were desperately trying to make their way to the entrance of the base. I immediately started to shoot at the head of the nearest dino, and my bullet hit the creature right in the eyeball before it exploded out the top of its skull. It wasn't a direct brain hit, but there was a wet popping sound which was followed by a small explosion of goop, and the dinosaur swayed on the spot as its jaw fell open. Then I put another sharp bullet into its ear canal, and blood splattered out of its head like a tiny volcano. The Therizinosaurus made half a gurgled roar, but it finally toppled over as its long claws flailed out to the side. There was an unpleasant crunch as the dino hit the ground, and I spun around to see the girls all open fire on a particularly large herd member. Heiwan's brothers had teamed up to take down one of the Therizinosauruses, which had a massive scar over its back, and it swiped a claw dangerously close to Tay's face as it fell down dead. At first, Leo and Orion had their mouths hung open as they watched the dinos fall. But then they quickly grabbed their sharp guns to help finish off the final predator which the girls had almost killed. The victory was short-lived. A roar bellowed from outside the gateway, and I raced toward the sound to try and stop any more creatures getting inside.
"Jason!" Quan yelled as he sprinted over to me. "Be careful! I don't know how many more there are!"
I was ready to shoot as soon as I stepped out of the gateway, and I was met with two Therizinosauruses that launched themselves toward us.
"Fuck!"
I yelled as their huge talons flew at my face, and I jumped to the side at the same moment I fired my weapon. The shot wasn't perfect because I stumbled, but it got one of the dinos in the neck. I quickly steadied myself and pulled the trigger again as I aimed at the injured dino's skull. The second bullet lodged right between the dinosaur's eyes, and dark blood poured from the wound as the creature crashed down. Quan had been shouting at the second Therizinosaurus, and the dino's whole skull exploded as several more bullets launched into the brain from the Underground King's assault rifle. The head erupted with shattered bits of bone, and the creature toppled onto its front with a nasty squishing sound. I spun around to see the girls rush through the gateway, and it looked like we had managed to kill all of the small herd. Heiwan's brothers appeared next, and Tay kicked a bit of dino goop from his shoe.
"Everyone okay?"
I panted, and Kat nodded. Then the two male scouts came to join us, and their eyes were wide as they quickly spoke in hums to Adhara. I listened to their conversation as I surveyed the nearby trees and watched for any hints of movement. There was no breeze, and the forest seemed silent from where we stood. The deep greens were broken up by brightly colored flowers, and the dark bark of the palm trees seemed to glow orange in the dawn light.
"They tried to get into the elevator,"
Quan growled as he stared into the trees.
"They must know we have a whole village of people down there now."
"I thought the same thing. And they're just going to keep coming,"
I nodded grimly.
Maybe you should have guards stationed up here at all times, as well as downstairs.
It looks that way, Quan agreed. Although, it makes me nervous to have only a few men out in the open.
I glanced at the underground king as he rubbed his scar-covered neck. I had never heard him mention nerves before, or any sign of weakness at all. I felt like it just proved how fucking dangerous the situation had gotten. But I could understand why. He easily had over 100 people to safeguard out here now. And who knew how many dinosaurs were probably just waiting for their time to strike on a banquet like this? A clicking sound started up on my right, and all of us swung around in unison with our weapons raised. But as we readied ourselves to shoot, I heard the tiniest crunch behind me, and I spun around in time to see two more Therizinosauruses creep out of the trees. "Watch out!" I yelled, and I wasted no time in firing right at the closest dino's face. Tay shot it a couple of times in the jugular a split second later, and the bastard dropped as its buddy hissed and lowered its head in a predatory way.
"Keep an eye out to the right!" I shouted. "These fuckers are trying to sneak up on us!"
Half the group stayed facing the right as the other half joined me in mowing down the dino on the left. Heiwan shot the second dinosaur in the mouth as it tried to roar, and its tongue blew up into a mass of shredded tissue.
"Nice,"
I said, as Cat put her own bullet into its skull, and the dinosaur joined its companion in a dead heap on the forest floor. Then I heard a rustling noise behind me, and I turned to see another Therizinosaurus run out from the trees on the right. Leo and Orion fired their sharp guns within a millisecond, and the beast had several sharp bullets in its head before it even had a chance to get near the group. The dino was dead before it hit the ground, and we stood in silence as we looked back out into the thick and overgrown trees surrounding us. The only sound was the chirp of a nearby bird, and the sky still had a warm-colored hue as the sun peeked out over the trees. I glanced down at the dino corpses at our feet and stepped back from the little river of blood which oozed from them.
"Motherfuckers!"
Cat spat after a moment.
"That one tried to distract us with his creepy clicks while those two snuck up."
"It almost worked,"
Becca shivered.
"If Jason hadn't heard them, we'd be dead."
"You have a good ear," Quan nodded. "It's a shame you would be leaving us for some time."
"You've got these guys," I said as I gestured to Quan's sons. "Plus your men inside, that's more than enough manpower."
"Not if these things keep appearing more frequently,"
Sunhee sighed, and he kicked the tail of one of the dinos.
"We are good, but even we must rest sometime,"
Minjun muttered through clenched teeth. Tay looked anxious at his older brother's words, and the muscles in Quan's jaw flexed a few times as he looked at his three burly sons. Heiwan bit her lip at the sight of her family and the dead dino bodies, and my heart clenched as I realized how worried she'd be the entire time we were gone. The fight here in the forest was only going to get worse from here on out, but we couldn't stay to help. We had to end the apocalypse once and for all. I glanced over at the two male aliens as I heard them having a hushed conversation, and the stoic men were gesturing wildly at the dinos in a way that seemed out of character for them. "Everything okay?" I asked, and they shook their heads.
"We do not expect this to be so bad," Leo said. "We have never seen Omati behave this way in our world."
"I know, your scientists did a hell of a job," I sighed. "These guys have a real taste for human blood lately, and it's getting worse by the day."
"They are getting far too cunning," Quan said, as he wiped blood splatter from the barrel of his rifle. "Today they made a strategic plan. This hasn't happened quite like this before."
"They grow more advanced every day,"
Heiwan said.
"You must not let them get into the elevator upper."
"I think we need some more barriers," Minjun decided as he glanced back at the fence. "This gate will not hold now that they have made their choice. They will do whatever it takes to get inside." "They will not get inside," Quan growled, and he spat on the ground beside one of the dino corpses. I knew that Quan would do whatever it took to make sure nothing got into the base, but I knew it would just take one lucky nudge of a button for smaller dinos to make the elevator work. They'd already proven they could try as much back in Ravenscar. "I think more barriers are a good idea," I said, as I looked at the tall fence.
It's better to overestimate these bastards than to underestimate. Quan sighed and turned to look at me as he swung his K2 over his shoulder.
You need to be careful, he said, and his dark eyes flickered to Heiwan. And you need to leave. We will do as much as we can here, but the real mission is up to you.
Heiwan hurried forward and wrapped her arms around her father's neck, and Quan gently stroked her hair and said something quietly in Korean.
We need to get started with building, Minjun said.
Protect my baby sister. Minjun's voice cracked the tiniest bit as he spoke, and Tae patted him on the back. The burly Korean shook his younger brother off, but then Heiwan broke away from her father and hurried over to Minjun, and she flung herself into her oldest brother's arms. Becca stifled a sob as Minjun chuckled and hugged his sister back, and Kat discreetly dabbed her eye before she acted like there was a gnat bothering her.
We should not get so upset, Sunhee warned. This is not a big goodbye. We will see each other again very soon.
Exactly, I quickly agreed. We'll be back before you know it. When this is all over, we can throw another party and get to see Quan's awesome moves again. The Underground King smirked, and he looked up at the sky as something in the distance roared.
I hate goodbyes,
Becca sniffled, and I put an arm around the gorgeous blonde.
Did you not hear me? Sunhee laughed. No goodbye, just saying see you later.
Yeah,
Kat offered the blonde a smirk.
We have to get back before Becca's pregnancy cravings start up and annoy the shit out of us.
Becca giggled as I kissed the top of her head, and she burrowed her face into my chest.
We will stop the fleet,
Edhara said.
Do not be sad. We have many guns. We will use them any time we must.
I know you will, Minjun said as Heiwan pulled away from him with a tear-stained face.
I looked around at the graveyard of dinos and watched their blood drip down and dye the grass red. The dinosaurs in Korea were different from what we had encountered in England, and I briefly wondered what horrific things were waiting for us at CERN. It's time, I said gently as I stroked Becca's head. You guys might want to get these bodies cleared up as soon as possible. Sunhee nodded and ran a hand through his dark hair as he looked down at the corpses.
Let us go,
Edhara agreed.
We will need as much time as we can get.
I will remain here,
Orion announced, and I turned to see the tall alien nod his head.
You have plenty of members for your trip, and I have many more weapons that can be of service here.
Really? I asked, and I was surprised that he even had any concern for humans. His shock over the Therizinosauruses seemed genuine, though, and it reminded me just how fucking scary the situation had become.
We would appreciate that, Quan said, as he looked Orion up and down. Your weapons have helped very much already, and another skilled shooter is always welcome.
Two spaceships it is,
Kat said.
Come on, guys.
Heiwan hovered close to her brothers, and her bottom lip stuck out slightly as she hesitated.
On you go, Quan said sternly. My daughter needs to go and help save the world. She does not have time for being sad.
Heiwan sniffed, but she nodded in determination as she turned toward me. I let go of Becca and gave the Korean men a final handshake each before I headed to the clearing where the ships were parked. Becca laced her fingers into mine, and Heiwan clung onto my other arm as we started to make our way over to the crafts. Kat and Edhara strode ahead, and Leo walked behind us. I heard Quan put the others to work immediately, and his gruff voice barked orders in Korean. It was a short walk to the ships, and they glistened under the morning light. The hazy force fields were only barely visible, and the clearing was still. We'll see them again soon, I reassured Heiwan as she wiped her eyes. You know that they're going to be just fine.
I know.
The Korean beauty nodded.
It is just hard to leave them, especially right after our wedding.
I'm so proud of you, I said. This is really fucking hard. But we're doing it for our family, for our kids.
I will fly in my craft, Leo announced as he broke off from the group and headed for his ship. We will meet back up at the location.
You know the way?
Kat asked, and Leo raised an eyebrow, as if it was a stupid question.
"The map knows," he replied. "So, I know."
"Of course,"
Kat replied.
"I forget your tech is better than ours in every way possible."
"Yes, it is," Leo agreed, as he headed around the back of his ship.
We made our way to the entrance of Idhara's craft and waited by the door as she jumped through the force field. I wrinkled my nose as an unpleasant burning smell wafted through the air, and I realized Quan must have started using the sharp guns to disintegrate the dino bodies. I hoped that they were able to get through the process without attracting any others. But when the force field buzzed off, I knew it was time to refocus on our work now. I let the girls head inside in front of me, and once I stepped into the spaceship, we headed through the sleek metal corridor to the control room. Adhara had hit the button already to raise the spare seats up from the floor, and we each grabbed a spot as the control panel lights flashed.
"Everyone ready?"
I asked, and the girls nodded. Adhara sat in the pilot seat and started to hit buttons and twist dials as the spaceship burst into life. The floor rumbled, and I prepared to be pushed back into the comfortable seat with the ship's safety system. The sky outside still had a warm glow, and I was pleased to see that there weren't any more dinos sneaking around the clearing.
"We are leaving,"
Adhara called.
"We will be there soon."
"Let's go save the world," I muttered, as I leaned back in my chair, and the ship suddenly rocketed upward with a low hum.
"Woo!"
Kat cheered, and all the girls' faces lit up for a moment. As we started to sail over the dense trees, everyone seemed to forget about their problems for the moment as we watched the sea of green fly underneath us. The smiles of my lovers stoked the fire I had inside of me, and I knew I wouldn't stop fighting until they wore those smiles every day. All we had to do was use the Hadron Collider to create a black hole, get on board an alien ship mid-flight, and convince the leaders to stop the fleet from destroying the whole of humanity. How hard could it be?